Good morning. I want to start by inviting you to pass the peace, if you all want to stand for a minute. I want to teach you how to say, "Peace be with you," in American Sign Language. So the sign for peace is to become. So you switch your hands back and forth like this, and then calm. So it's become calm. Peace be with you. So, peace be with you. And then the sign for "and also with you" is really super fun. And you can do this to me, and you can do this to one another, and also with you. You can be seated. Thank you so much for the invitation to come and preach this morning. I'm so glad to be here. I can't tell you how great it is to be here. I have not worshiped anywhere in person for 2 years. And this is a wonderful place to be. What a lovely congregation you have. I love the art. I love the dance, the children's sermon. I thought I can just sit down now. And the music. Oh, the singing. The singing was like a healing balm running down and flowing out. So thank you. And thank you for your long history with Anabaptist Disabilities Network. Appreciate your continuing involvement in including people with disabilities in congregational life, and also for your support for ADN. We appreciate our long relationship with you. There's some exciting things happening with Anabaptist Disabilities Network. This is not when I'm going to share them. If you want to hear about them, you can talk to me after the worship service. I'm going to preach now, but I'll tell you just a couple of things. One is I just came from Mennonite Health Assembly. I just arrived back yesterday, and we were awarded an innovation grant for developing our new curriculum. It's a membership curriculum for adults and youth who have intellectual disabilities. So we're very excited to be developing this new curriculum. Yeah. So that was very exciting news. I understand you already know about the accessibility resolution. Also very exciting, coming up for a vote in May. So I understood you discussed that last week. Yay, you. So we have some webinars coming up too at the end of this month, March 31st, there's one on estate planning for families who have a dependent disabled family member. There's another one in June on congregational care for people who live with dementia. So, so the Merriam-Webster definition of it being exceptional, is the condition of being different from the norm. In our scripture this morning, the tax collectors and sinners are gathering around Jesus, and the scribes and Pharisees say scornfully, "Look at that Jesus. He's eating with sinners." And Jesus proceeds to pointedly tell stories, multiple stories, about inclusion. And one of those stories is the story of the prodigal son. Now, the prodigal son is the youngest son, and Jesus is trying to remind his listeners of other important youngest sons in the scriptures. Jacob was the youngest son. Joseph was the youngest son. King David was the youngest son. And Jesus is saying, here also is a youngest son. He's special. Now, my father was the youngest child of German parents, and they called him Der Kleiner. The little one. He was a mischievous kid, and as Der Kleiner, he could get away with things that his older brother couldn't. I am also a youngest child. My dad called me Spintmaus, which means corner mouse or house mouse. And I also could get away with things with my dad that my older siblings could not. And I have to admit that being the youngest is a pretty good gig most of the time. Any other youngest kids here? You know what I'm talking about. And you older ones probably do too. But the youngest son in our scripture deeply disappoints his father. Shockingly, he says, He doesn't want to wait for his dad to die. He'll take his inheritance now, thank you very much. And so he runs off with the money, which his dad gives him, and wastes it all, living a wild life. And then hungry and broke, he remembers that his father even treats his servants well. So he decides to return home and ask to be a servant. The youngest son returns home because he knows his father's generosity. And perhaps deep down inside, he knows that he is loved in spite of everything he has done. Perhaps he hopes that his dad still has a soft spot for him. The father, of course, rejoices at the sight of the youngest son. He runs to him, embraces him, and orders an expensive party. Well, the older brother is angry. He does not think his younger brother deserves this kind of welcome. He should live with the consequences of his actions. The older brother points out that he is the exemplary one because of his dedication, loyalty, and hard work. And the father says, "No matter what, you are both the joy of my heart. Let's all celebrate because your brother is home again." So in this story, we have the younger brother who runs off and spends his inheritance, but he also knows his father's character and his love enough to return. And we have the older brother who is reliable and trustworthy, but he is resentful and begrudging of his father's generosity to someone who he thinks is undeserving. Neither one of these brothers is perfect. They both have good qualities. They both have faults. Jesus' parable is about the character of God and human imperfection. All of us are a mixed bag of things, both strengths and weaknesses, and we do some wonderful things and we make some big mistakes. What we most have in common with one another is that we are imperfect and God loves us anyway. But we often have a lot invested in feeling like we're exceptional. I'm reminded of Garrison Keillor's description of the fictional Lake Wobegon from his radio show. I don't know if any of you remember that show. But the tagline for Lake Wobegon was, "Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average." So there are many problems that come with being considered exceptional or different from the norm. In our school systems, we divide the kids up into different classes, special education and gifted children and other children. From God's point of view, all children are special, and all children are gifted, and all children have weaknesses and needs. If we want to seek God's ways together, I think we need to try to adopt a God's eye view. In his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul writes, "From now on, we regard no one from a human point of view." He urges the people of the church to take up their God-given ministry of reconciliation. In our human anxiety to justify ourselves and categorize people, we put some people in the category of other. This kind of judgment divides us and causes harm. And we can slip into this unwittingly through the assumptions that we make about other people. Several years ago, I was attending a conference on disability and ministry, and there was a man there who had significant impairments and used a wheelchair. His limbs were short, and he had an assistant who occasionally manipulated his arms for some reason. I still don't know what that was for. But I remember briefly wondering why he had come to the conference. What had brought him there? And I wondered if maybe his caregiver, he had a couple of caregivers, were they attending the conference and he was just kind of along for the ride? And later that day, one of the speakers said that in their talk was saying that we should be careful not to be patronizing of adults with disabilities, that we should not treat them like children. And the man who I'd seen earlier wanted to ask a question, the man who was in the wheelchair. And so they brought the microphone to him, and he said, "I am a pastor of a congregation of people with intellectual disabilities. And I use Mr. Potato Head as an illustration of the body of Christ. Do you think that I'm being patronizing to my congregation?" I was like, he's a pastor. I felt like such an idiot. I felt like Mrs. Potato Head. I had made all kinds of assumptions about this man because of what he looked like, because of his physical impairment. So one of the things I have learned since then is to check my assumptions about other people. In particular, people with disabilities, but the same could go for other people who are not like me. Black people, Russian people, people with a southern accent. We need all kinds of people with all kinds of gifts in the body of Christ for the body to be complete. We need to be careful not to leave anybody out or anybody behind. We need to be careful not to make judgments about them, not to leave them out because we don't value them or because we simply don't see them. This week on our blog, and I hope you'll be able to go to our website, it's really easy, AnabaptistDisabilitiesNetwork.org. This week we're posting a song that was written by Anne Hamlin. Now, Anne is a young adult, she's autistic, and she uses a tablet to communicate. She's nonverbal. And she wrote this lovely song, it's delightful. You won't be sorry if you go and listen to it. She wrote the words on her tablet, and her music teacher wrote the music and sang it and recorded it for her. The song is called "I Am Here," and it's clever and funny and poignant. It has all the feels. And she sings about what it's like for people not to notice that she's there. And she says, "I'm sitting here and I'm listening to everything. I know all your secrets. You have lots of opinions. I have lots of opinions too." And she writes, "Even though you don't know that I am here, I am still here for you." God's value system is different than our value system. When Paul writes about the body of Christ, he urges the Corinthians to give the weaker members higher honor. Now, weaker is a little problematic. Who's to say, right? What is weakness and what is strength? We could debate about that. But what I think Paul is getting at is we especially need to pay attention to people who are marginalized in the larger culture. And that includes people with disabilities. They have things to teach us. They have gifts and wisdom that we can't get anywhere else. If we will just slow down and take the time to listen and to learn. When we seek God's ways together, we turn from our self-preoccupation to love of God and neighbor. Rabbi Joshua ben Levi wrote that a procession of angels passes before each human being, wherever they go, proclaiming, "Make way for the image of God." May we see other people as God sees them, made in the image of God, holy and imperfect, immeasurably loved and valued as a necessary part of the beloved community. When the body of Christ is complete, with all members present and fully included, then our joy will be complete, just as the Father's joy was complete when both his sons were home again.